Greetings and God bless you. We are the generals and the boss prophets, Dr. Apostles April
and Andrew, and we are here with your weekly word of supernatural empowerment.
We decree that by the power of God, that what you are about to hear will shift you into your new season. Let's listen in closely as the word is already in progress.
And this is what happens. There's acceleration with this ministry. There is acceleration. People hook up with us. They've been in the wilderness for 40, 20, 10 years. They hook up with us, and within 6 months, they're on their way to destiny. They said, I have not grown this much in my whole life, but yet the short few months I've been with you, I've definitely skyrocketed. That's what this ministry is. It's a launching pad. That's what apostleship is. It's a launching pad. It is the very pad that the rocket sits on, and it helps propel you. It is the one that helps propel you into your destiny, into your divine purpose. So I'm humbled by that, by God choosing us. But anything and anyone knows about a launching pad, especially for a rocket, they don't set a rocket on sand. They don't make a launching pad out of sand. They don't make a launching pad out of feathers. They don't make a launching pad out of cushion and foam. They don't make a. It is made out of special material because it has to be strong enough. It has to be sturdy enough. It has to have a level of endurance to be able to take the backlash of your propelling, to take the backlash of what it takes to push you, to take the backlash of what it takes to be able to get you to the point where God wants to use you and birth out your purpose and your destiny, your assignment.
Amen. That's right. Yeah.
Why do you think we talk so strong when we say if God has really called you, he don't call wimps. He doesn't call cowards. He doesn't call people who are easily intimidated, because if you're a real leader, if you're a real person who God has called to basically encourage the people, that's why you can't be afraid of their faith, because you got to be able to stand in the midst of adversity.
Amen.
Stand in the midst of blasphemous. Stand in the midst of when people do leave you, when people don't have the vision of God in their heart, when people turn against you, when they lie on you. They tell you one day I'm here with you, and then the next they're gone and say, God told me that I need to go. But you just told me God told you to stay and serve. How did God, you make God to be bipolar.
Come on.
The God that I serve is not bipolar.
Amen.
To all my ladies on here, you think it's glamorous to be a first lady. You think that your destiny is called to be a first lady because you just know your husband's going to be a pastor. Well, let me tell you something. You better have a strong backbone, because I'm telling you right now, if you think you're going to be a pretty damsel that just comes in the service and says, preach, husband, and thinks that everything's going to be okay, you got another thing coming. You got to learn how to stand flat-footed, because it's sure enough, if you want to be a first lady, you are first on the line. You are first to receive the ammunition that comes from the opposition. You are first to receive the blow. Matter of fact, you'll receive it sometimes even greater than your husband, because the enemy knows that if he can deter the two and if he can isolate you, you're the weaker vessel, then definitely he can get the husband to stand alone. So he'll come after you first.
Amen.
So you got to be the backbone. You got to be the strength. You got to be the mother. You have to be the general. You got to be the fragrance. You got to learn how to balance the gentleness and the kindness, but yet have the sternness, and you got to have the spirit of God where you chastise as well. You got to know the balance. You got to have wisdom. You got to have discernment. Because there are going to be women who are gunning for your position. Oh, yes.
That's real.
Amen.
Many women have come to me and my husband, and they basically told me I would be a better first lady than the one you're married to. Many women come and prophesied and said, the woman of God that you are married to isn't your true woman. She's an imposter. What I see is I see you with a woman with 5'6" and long hair. They're describing their own physique. And this is what happens. So what do you do? Are you going to be the crazy first lady that goes ham and goes out on Facebook and do these Facebook lives bringing attention to these whores and these whoremongers? Or are you going to still be classy and tactful? are you going to maintain your priority? Yeah. Knowing that you don't even have to pay attention to those distractions. You guard your home. Let me tell you something. Many women have tried to come for my position. Many people have tried to tear my husband and I apart. Many people have tried to cause a wedge, but I didn't give them no attention. I just went ahead and stuck closer to my husband. I lifted him up in prayer. I went into fasting and praying. I began to decree and declare over his body, over his mind. I began to pray for the vision that God has placed in his heart. I began to pray for the clarity and the strategies and the precision that God is calling him to execute. See, this is the role of a real backbone.
Amen, amen.
I'm teaching you, ladies. And I will continue to teach because a lot of these people, a lot of these young girls out here think that it's cute to be a first lady, think that it's cute to be in ministry. But let me tell you something. There's a behind-the-scenes action. There are things that you got to learn how to conduct yourself. You can't say everything that you think. You can't act at the whim. You can't just go and be an explosive bomb. You got to have tact. You got to have class. And most of all, you got to be a strategist.
Man, yes.
Oh, I'm giving you some secrets today. Secrets of being
amen,
a champion.
Amen.
Secrets of being a champion. I'm a champion. My husband, General Andrew, we are generals in faith. We are champions. So I want to talk to you today. I want to give you some secrets. Secrets of champions.
Amen.
I want to talk to you today amen. About being a champion. Each and every one of you all, under the sound of my voice, are called to be a champion. But guess what? It's a choice. You're not born a champion. You have to decide to become a champion. Champions are made one day at a time.
Amen.
Champions are made one day at a time. A champion, what is a champion? A champion is one who shows marked superiority. Marked superiority. A champion is not born. They are made. You have the power to make yourself into a champion when you learn to always reach for the best in life and not settle for less. This could be applied in any area of your life, for your education, for relationship, for ministry. When you learn who you are, when you learn what you're developing yourself to be. See, I knew that I wanted to be a champion in life. So I knew that my decisions, my thoughts, my words all had to line up on the same path to get me in the direction of championship. I can't Amen. Settle for less. That's why I can't hang out with everybody. That's why I couldn't accept every quote-unquote suitor that wanted to court me and marry me, because I knew that I was a champion, and so therefore I'm saving myself for another champion. I'm saving myself for likewise in quality.
Amen.
It tells me a lot about a woman when I talk to her and I see the decisions that she's made. I learn a lot about a man when I talk to him and when we talk to them and we see the decisions that they make, because the quality of your decisions determines what you think about yourself.
That's wisdom. Amen. Amen.
You can't tell me that you think you a child of God, of the Most High, peculiar people, royal priesthood, you a woman of God, woman of virtue, but yet I see you time and time again settling for less. Settling for less, looking like a whore, acting like a thought, acting like somebody that is just desperate, whoremongering, just putting yourself out there, please love me, please, acting all out, ratchet and ghetto. You can't tell me that you carry yourself with royalty, but yet I see you out here looking like something that's even lower than a peasant.
My God.
Hey. My God.
My God.
Are you a thought or are you a queen? There's a language out here in the urban language is thought. Someone who's basically out there, has no motive, just out there trying to take advantage, wants somebody to love them at all expense, putting themselves out there to get played.
Jesus.
That's right.
Are you a thought or are you a queen? So someone who doesn't settle for less to stand out from the crowd, you don't accept mediocrity. That's just not something that is tolerated. That's why we have a saying here at KCI. I established it. We have a spirit of excellence in all that we do. I don't accept mediocre. I don't accept mediocre reasons. I don't accept mediocre excuses. I don't accept mediocre behavior. I expect you to be an uncommon achiever. Mm-hmm. When you become a champion, an uncommon achiever, success will be in your life. Success will be your reward. You will attract a success. You will attract success when you begin to take the smallest step toward being an uncommon achiever, a champion.
Amen.
So let's talk to this a little bit. No one becomes successful overnight. We got that. Most people who achieve success do so after years of mistakes and trial and error, but they never quit. Although you've made some mistakes, you might say, "Ooh, Apostle April, you're talking about me. I was a whore. I was a mistress. I was one that made bad decisions. Ooh, Apostle April, General April, that was me. I didn't put my best foot forward. I was lazy. I had a spirit of apathy. I slacked off. I never could finish a project. I'm lazy at my job. I don't hardly go to school. I dropped out of college." Well, you know what? You made mistakes. But God is saying, even today, you can begin putting forth the smallest step forward and toward your success of being a champion. The thing is not to quit.
Amen.
The same is in the word of God. He who put his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. What was that talking to? That was talking to people who have endurance. It's going to get hard. See, some of us are so lazy, we don't even understand what that even means. We never even did the research. You got to understand what it means to plow. We're so spoiled nowadays in the 21st century. Thank God we do have the luxury of technology and machines, so we don't have to do a lot of the labor that they used to do in the olden days. But you need to take a research. You need to go and Google some things. Google pictures about plowing. Back in the day, when they used the word plow, they really meant plow. That, you, do you know what it is to plow by hand, not with a machine? You're along your own strength. You have this big old steer bar that has and creates lines and divisions in the soil, and you have to literally push your whole weight to move it forward in order to make lines so that your harvest, or I should say your seed sowing, could be in some type of rhythm and order. And then if you could, you can get either mules or oxen or some type of even sometimes horses, but they would put the yokes around their neck, and they would tie the plow to it, and they would whip the mule or the bison, and as they would tread forward, it would help him push and steer as they divide the soil. It's hard work. It's laborious work. It's work that will make you faint in the hot sun trying to do that. And they didn't have a little patch of land. They had hundreds of acres because that was their livelihood. That's all they did in the day. They didn't have jobs. They didn't have corporate America.
That's right.
They didn't have corporate America. They didn't have truck driving school. All you had was either you were a farmer, you were or ironsmith. You worked for the king, you were a farmer, or you did iron work. I mean, literally, there was no in between. So that's all you did, and you sold, and you got your harvest, and for your reward of your harvest, you got money. You went into the market to trade.
That's right. That's right.
So you're doing this. You're breaking your body down. You're muddy. You're stepping in mush. Because guess what? If you got if you got mules and donkeys and horses, whatever it is that's helping you push your plow, if you're even using an animal to help you plow, guess what? They're not going to say, "Excuse me, boss, let me disconnect me and let me go over there and let me go ahead and urinate and let me drop my bowels over here and I'll come back and finish helping you plow." No, they're right directly in front of you. So if they got to take a bowel movement, it's right in your face. You're stepping in it right 3 feet behind it after they drop it from their butt. Working hard, plowing. So what does God say? He said that's the perfect example of what ministry is. You working hard, rolling up your sleeve, encouraging people of God just for them to boo-boo right in front of you.
My Lord.
Just for them to take a crap right in the very yard that you're trying to plow and cultivate for your harvest.
Jesus.
oh, I'm dropping something on you. But people want to be champions, right? But you need to understand what it takes. It takes endurance. That's why God eloquently put it. He said, he who puts his hand to the plow but looks back. And,
amen. Not,
that's the word. Amen.
You're not fit.
Amen.
You're not fit. You're a wimp. You're a coward. You're a quitter. You're not a champion. Woo! I'm stepping in somebody's yard. Uh-oh.
Jesus.
They never quit. Success requires commitment, perseverance, hard work. And eventually, as you begin to take the right steps, you will reach your goals and achieve your dreams. Rhetorically, what are your dreams? It might be to be more proficient in the Word of God, to memorize some scriptures, to be able to expound like the generals. That might be one of your dreams. Your dream might be to be able to open up your own business and give back to the community with the spirit of love, agape love.
Amen.
What is your dream? To be debt free. Whatever it is, whatever your dream is, it starts with the mind. It starts with changing your mindset to be that of a champion.
Amen.
Successful people, successful people, guess what they do? This is what I do. Matter of fact, I pray it every day when I wake up. Matter of fact, Apostle Smith and I, we speak this every day when we start our day, our morning. Successful people expect a new golden connection every day.
Right.
We pray this as we go along with everything else that we do in the morning when we pray and seek the Holy Spirit. This is one of the things we decree and declare. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we decree and declare. We expect new golden opportunities, new golden and divine connections.
Amen.
New golden and divine opportunities today. Lord, awaken my senses, my ear gates, my eye gates, so that I don't miss an opportunity to bless, to sow a seed, to encourage, to empower, that I don't miss, so that I'm not so in a big of a hurry that the person you told me to meet in aisle 2 of Walmart, I don't walk past them because I'm ready to go to the checkout line. Lord, I'm expecting something to happen today.
Amen.
If I was to take a consensus of everyone on the line, how many people really say that every day? How many people actually say, Lord, I expect a new golden connection
today?
Amen.
Let me tell you,
Amen.
Successful people, you want to know our secrets. I'm talking to you about the secrets of champions. You want to know the secrets of Apostle Smith and I, the generals. We notice our surroundings. Successful people, champions, they notice their surroundings.
Uh-huh.
They observe. Observe human relations. We don't just take for granted when people connect to us. We examine and observe.
Amen.
Amen.
We will not be this successful. We will not be this far in ministry if we didn't take the time to observe our human relations. I was speaking and preaching the last time about relationships. Was I not? Some of you all were on here. I was talking to you all about noticing how to identify imposters in your relationship.
Amen there. Yes.
You got to
Amen.
Observe human relations. Successful people, champions, they analyze the secrets of uncommon achievers. You can't do this by yourself. You're silly if you think that you can. You're limited in your knowledge if you think that you and you alone can do it and make it. You need to get and hook up with a mentor. You need to learn exactly what other uncommon achievers, other champions are doing, what they did to acquire their success so that you can model right after them.
That's right.
It boggles my mind how we talk to people, they have these great aspirations, and then when we come with a follow-up question, we say, well, who are you studying? Who is your mentor to help guide you in this direction you acquire to be successful in?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I pray and I talk to God, so, you know, all I need is God.
My.
I said, oh. I said, if all we needed was God, why do we need the Bible?
Come on.
If all we need is God, why do we need to learn from our fellow sisters and brothers who are in the Word of God?
Amen.
Why do we need testimonies? I said, in order to be successful, you got to learn how to hook up with a mentor and model off what, after what they did so that you can learn what mistakes to avoid. Because if not, when God wants you to be established in the year, maybe June of 2017, you're still going to be making these, oops, my bad, oh, man, I made another mistake, hold back on the hamster wheel, okay, I got back on the crazy cycle, because you keep making mistake after mistake after mistake. But if you keep making mistake after mistake after mistake, guess what? You are actually you're staggering your progression.
That's right. Amen.
And when God needed you to wise up and he sent you a mentor in your life, you said, that's okay. They preached too hard. They ate Apostle General April and General Andrew. They too raw. I need somebody more gentle. Well, you go ahead and get somebody that's going to patty cake you right there into your stagnant position. God was trying to prepare you for a divine golden opportunity that would change your life. You're not even qualified to receive that golden opportunity. So then it goes to somebody else.
Ma'am.
And you don't even understand why, then you want to come back to the mentors that God gave you 6 months ago for you to hook up with and to be able to be a partaker of the mantle that is upon their life. Well, I don't know what's going on. I'm doing everything that I can. No, you're not. I'm easy to stop people who do those crocodile tears. I just try and I try and I say, stop crying. Because your tears don't do nothing for me. Your tears won't magically change your situation. It's time to put on your big girl panties, put on your big boy briefs, and let's go into analyzing what's going on in your life so we can learn how to stop making these same mistakes that are staggering you, that are halting your progression.
Yes.
I'm not moved that you are without. I'm not moved that you're in poverty. I love you so much that I want to now help bring correction. Instead of patty caking you and pacifying you and giving you a few dollars, let me implement strategy in your life. So now you can go back and help other people. You'll be in a position where you have an abundance, and out of your abundance, you can go back and bless somebody else.
Man.
That's what this is about. What did Boaz do? Boaz, the successful landowner. What did he do? What did I tell you? The first thing that successful people and champions do, he noticed Ruth. I said successful people notice their surroundings. Boaz noticed Ruth. So much he asked the question, because Ruth's diligence and her hard work stood out. That's why I tell people, for those of you all that desire a husband on here, oh, boy, it must be a lot of you all that I talk to that wants to have a marriage, and I think that's wonderful. But I often tell people, I say, if you want a Boaz, and it's so cute to say, ooh, I got a Boaz, I want a Boaz. I said, but you better do what Ruth was doing to get your Boaz. Read the word. Ruth was busy. In order for Boaz who noticed Ruth, guess what Boaz noticed about Ruth? Her hard work. Her hard work and her diligence stood out. It wasn't because she was posing on Facebook with her butt out. It wasn't because she was doing the little model pose with her chest with her low cleavage. That wasn't attracting Boaz. It was her hard work.
Jesus.
Man, she was productive, yes.
Her hard work and her diligence stood out so much that he had to ask his workers, whose damsel is this? And they replied back, she's a Moab. She's the one that came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And then they replied, they said, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and have continued even from the morning until now. That's in Ruth 2:6-7. They were able to speak of her diligence. They said that she came from the morning and she's been in there reaping and doing the sheaves until now. They were able to speak of her character and her diligence. You want a man to notice you, but who can vouch for your hard work?
God.
You want somebody to notice you even on the job, but who can notice you and who can vouch of your hard work on the job? I need more money. I need more money. I want to raise. They promoting these people all around me, but do you qualify?
Amen.
bosses, supervisors, bosses, managers, supervisors, they notice. Champions notice. They notice the most diligent workers. They listen to trusted employees. They are usually the ones that are hardworking, the ones that are trustworthy, the ones that are giving forth a great and excellent effort every day, not one day missing, one day not, one day on time, the next day late, one day, well, I'm tired. You know, all of these wishy-washy workers, but these are the workers that are diligent. What is diligent? To be consistent with an intense effort. They are usually the first to be considered for promotion and salary increase.
We know this word has supernaturally empowered you for this week. Now is the time to place your angels on an assignment. Yes, your angels. It is time to take authority and now decree what you want to manifest for you and your family on this week. Plant your seed in supernatural fertile ground today.
And you activate this word and make it supernaturally manifest by sowing your money seeds. The more you sow, the more miracles will begin to flow into your hands. Your palms will be filled up with overflow by visiting our website at www.kci.world.
That's www.kci.world, not .org, not .com, for we are worldwide, where there is always something supernaturally happening. Again, that's www.kci.world. We are speaking life over you and your family, and we are excited about your now, your next, and your new season in Jesus' name. This has been your weekly word of supernatural empowerment from the Generals.